were singing about that grace comes time to die, I couldn't help check my treble, please, up there and turn it all the way up. Give me just a tad more volume. I thought about Dr. Paulson. He just didn't linger very long. He was gone before we knew it. I guess about a month after he found out he had cancer, he was gone. When he found out he had cancer. But remember that sermon I preached not long ago on Sunday morning, that this earth is only a school training us for the main work we have in heaven, and that we get ready to do our work in heaven. God will take us on to heaven. We'll do our main work. We're in school here, and we graduate and go to heaven. And we're so when Dr. Paulson, please, move that out of the aisle there, please. Somebody's going to trip on that. Would you mind? When Dr. Paulson heard that he had cancer and it was terminal, he said to his wife, "I wish I could go on now." And she said, "I'd like to go with you." He said, "You can't. You're too slow a learner." And I thought about that when the song was sung a while ago, "Grace, when it comes my time to die." The sermon I'm going to preach tonight will not be a real spectacular one. It'll be one that you need to hear desperately. I want to speak on the subject from that text a while ago. The title of my message is, "She Sojourned 7 Years." She sojourned 7 years. You can check your Webster's Dictionary and you'll find the word sojourn means to visit. It actually comes from two words, which means less than a day. That's what it means. But it's been extended beyond that to mean a brief visit. Please, I ask you not to take notes now while I'm preaching tonight. This is not a class session. It's a preaching session. And you need to hear carefully what I'm going to say. More than you need to write it down, take it home, and study it when you get home. So, I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, "She Sojourned 7 Years." Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak tonight. I never have asked you in all these years for a good sermon. Never have. 58,000 times I've preached. More than that now. Getting close to 59,000. Never asked you for a good sermon. I haven't asked you to help me to preach a good sermon tonight. I just ask you to help me to convey the truth to the people. And bless the people and strengthen and encourage and help the people tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter number 12 and verse 10, the Bible says that Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. There was a famine in the land of Canaan. And Abraham no doubt said to Sarah, "Let's go down to Egypt to pick up a few dollars to get back on our feet." He went down to sojourn. While he was there, though, he stayed a long time. He went to sojourn, but he stayed until he picked up a little girl to be his maid named Hagar. And till his adopted son and nephew Lot became enchanted and infatuated with the land, that made him later on choose to the well-watered plains toward Sodom, at Sodom and Gomorrah, because it reminded him of the land of Egypt. From that hiring of Hagar to be his maid and the maid of Sarah, when they came back to Canaan, they took Hagar with them. Sarah could not have any children, and because she couldn't, God had promised that Abraham be the father of a nation, a great nation. And they decided to help God out. I got news for you. God doesn't need any help. He's doing real fine, thank you. And they decided to help God out. And Sarah suggested that Abraham have an affair, as it were, with Hagar and get her pregnant. And did so. And from that relationship with Hagar, there came a child whose name was Ishmael. And from that child, Ishmael, come all the Arab nations, the Arab people. And the problem tonight in the Middle East is caused by one thing. Abraham went to sojourn, or to visit, or to pass through the land of Egypt. In the 20th chapter of Genesis, by the way, once you start sojourning somewhere, then you'll not feel bad about sojourning again. And Abraham in the 20th chapter of Genesis, he sojourned in Gerar, the Bible says. And in Genesis 21:34, it says, "Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. He went down to pass through, went down to stay a while, but stayed a long enough time to cause trouble for 2,000, or more than that, for all these thousands of years in the land of Canaan, and to cause a lot of havoc in the world. In Ruth chapter 1, are you listening to me? In Ruth chapter 1, in verse 1, there was a man named Elimelech, and his wife named Naomi. The Bible says that Elimelech and Naomi in Ruth 1:1 went to sojourn in the country of Moab. They went to pass through. They went to stay for a while. They went to have a brief visit. No doubt, they said, we're going to go down there. We can get on our feet financially and get a little money in the bank, and we'll come back then. But they did not come back. Because when you go down to sojourn, you almost always stay. Anytime you flirt with sin, you almost always marry sin later on. And they went down to sojourn, but they stayed there. Well, they got down there, and Malan married a heathen girl. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. If you sojourn in Moab, what can you expect? He married a heathen girl. And their son, Chilion, had two boys. Malan married a heathen girl, and Chilion married a heathen girl. Wasn't long till Malan died, and then Chilion died. And then Elimelech died, and Naomi was the only one left. She decided to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, her home area. And when she got back, she had changed so much, they didn't even recognize her. They said, is this Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. That word means pleasant. You call me Mara, because the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. So because they went to sojourn, number one, both boys married heathen girls. Number two, both boys died. Number three, the husband died. Number four, they stayed for 10 years. Number five, you didn't even recognize Naomi when she got back. Now, young ladies, I'm going to tell you something. You can buy all of the Avon you want to buy. You can buy all of the Helen Curtis or Helene Curtis, what it's called, you want to buy. You can buy all the makeup you want to buy. You can buy all of the perfume you want to buy. But there's no beauty aid quite like a decent, clean life. And you can't cover up the marks of sin. They don't make the facial cream that cover up the marks of sin. They don't make the makeup that'll cover up the stain that Satan leaves on your face when you go down to sojourn in the land of Moab. But they went to sojourn. In Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24, Jacob had deceived his brother on two occasions, his brother Esau. He had deceived him to get his birthright, that birthright meaning a double portion of the inheritance, the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah, and the right, the priestly rights of the entire family. For all three of those things, Esau traded those for just a bowl of soup because he thought he was going to die. Later on, Jacob deceived his father, whose eyesight was bad, and disguised himself as his brother Esau, and got the blessing that was supposed to be given to Esau. And Esau said, I'll get him. I'll kill him. And Jacob's mother said, I never have liked Jacob. I never have. I just don't like Jacob. Anybody rather be making soup than hunting? There's something wrong with him as far as I'm concerned. And but I'd rather eat soup than hunt. But I'm saying Jacob's mother, Rebekah, said, Sweetie face, you better get out of town. Your brother might kill you. And the Bible says, and I'm quoting, Jacob said, I have sojourned with Laban and have stayed there until now. She sent him back to their original homeland. He went to sojourn. He went until maybe Esau could cool off a little bit. Would you like to know how long he stayed? He stayed for 20 long years and wasted much of his life, though later on he became a prince of God and got right with Esau. Nevertheless, those 20 wasted years are still there on his record. And all because he went to sojourn. I'm saying that Abraham went to sojourn, stayed, and he wrecked a whole half the world. And Naomi and Elimelech went to sojourn, stayed for 10 years. Jacob went to sojourn and stayed for 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody has ever gone deep into sin on purpose. Nobody ever said, I think I'll become a whoremonger. I think I'll become a prostitute. I think I'll become an alcoholic. I think I'll become addicted to dope. Nobody's ever said that. It's that one little sojourn, if you please. Genesis chapter 47 and verse 4, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt. And the Bible says they came to, they said, for to sojourn in the land are we come. There's a famine back home. We've come to see if we can get some food.
and they came to sojourn in the land. Would you like to know that 215 years later, their people left that land? They went to sojourn. They stayed, and their nation became slaves to the Egyptian empire. And 215 years later, I said Naomi and Elimelech went to sojourn and stayed 10 years. Jacob went to sojourn and stayed 20 years. Abraham went to sojourn in Egypt and stayedly wrecked the nation. And Jacob went to sojourn in Haran and stayed there in Laban's country for 20 years. And Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to sojourn, and their descendants were there. Listen to me, young people, I'm preaching to you. 215 years later. You better hear me tonight. I'm warning you, don't you play with sin at all. I'm warning you, don't you visit Egypt. I'm warning you, don't you even go down to visit Moab. I'm warning you, don't even flirt with sin. 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 2, my text tonight says, she sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So we have one person went to sojourn, stayed 7 years. One person went to sojourn. One family went to sojourn, stayed 10 years. One man went to sojourn, stayed 20 years. And one family went to sojourn and stayed 215 years. What am I saying? Just one Sunday out of church. Just one Sunday out of church. You didn't plan to stay. But nobody ever became unfaithful to church who didn't take the one Sunday out first. Just one payday, not to tithe. We don't plan to continue that way. We've got a few bills we ought to pay. Just one payday, not to tithe. There's not one person in this room or in this world who's ever started robbing God consistently who did not fail to tithe for the one particular time. Sojourn. Just one social drink. Just went to see how drugs make me feel. Just one peep at a girly magazine. Just one cigarette. Just one lottery ticket. Just one little investment in a casino. Just one use. Or just one weekend fishing trip. Just one day to miss Bible reading. Just one day not to pray. Just one time to miss choir practice. Just one time not to be in your Sunday school class. Just one time to miss deacon's meeting. Just one kiss while the teachers and the administrators don't know anything about it. Just one movie on television. Just one shady talk show. Just one soap opera. Just one day at the beach when no one is there. I want to say this too. If you don't, you say, well, we went to the beach, but we had a little private spot. I'll tell you what you do next time. You'll go to a semi-private spot. Best thing to do is not own a bathing suit. You say, Brother Howard, you get more fanatical all the time, and you get more accurate all the time, too. Best thing to do, don't know. You say, boy, I've never heard anything like you in my life. Don't blame me for the crowd you've been running with. Just one conversation with a critic. Just one little thought like you're having right now, criticizing the preacher. Just one. No, listen to me. I was in Reno, Nevada, preaching. I stayed in a hotel. They put me there, stayed in a hotel that had some of these little one-armed bandits. Now, what you call them? I'm serious. Slot machines. I stayed there. Now, I had to walk. When I walked in the main door, I had to walk by probably 50 slot machines to get to the elevator. I walked in there. Now, just carefully. I walked in there Monday afternoon, walked by those slot machines to get to the elevator. I walked out of my room down the elevator Monday night, walked by the slot machines to go out and get in the car and go to church. After the service, I walked by those slot machines and went to my room to have a night's rest. Next morning, I walked by those slot machines and went out to get in the car. At noon, I walked by those slot machines to come back and work for the afternoon. At Tuesday night, I walked by those slot machines and just to go get in the car. Tuesday night, I walked by those slot machines to go back to my room. And Wednesday morning, I walked by those slot machines to go get in the car and drive to the airport, and I'll promise you those slot machines didn't look as bad on Wednesday morning as they did Monday afternoon. And I looked at him and I said, I'm competitive by nature. And our college could use the money. Now you listen to me, folks. We're living in a world of compromising Christianity. I call it the yuppie generation building a bunch of yuppie churches. Brother, we need the old-time gospel, the old-time religions, the faith of our fathers and the standards that America used to have. Ask any alcoholic if you plan to become an addict. Ask any addict of narcotics if he planned to become a dope addict. Ask any backslider if he planned to backslide. Ask any mother of an illegitimate child if she sat down one day and said, I think I'll have a baby out of wedlock. It's always the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. Sojourn is the first step. Nobody's ever gone into the deep sin that didn't sojourn. No young lady has ever gotten pregnant outside wedlock that didn't sojourn. No man or lady has ever become an alcoholic that didn't first sojourn. Nobody's ever become addicted to narcotics that didn't first sojourn. Nobody's ever wrecked their life and shipwrecked their life that didn't first sojourn. Now you listen to me. You stay away from the entrance and you won't be inside the place that'll wreck your life. Ask any addict to pornography if they planned that. Now some of you guys listen to me. And by the way, this isn't limited to Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics. We got some grown men. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about choir members, maybe. I'm talking about maybe even staff members. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about teachers at our school. I'm talking about young college students. I'm talking about preacher boys. Now you listen to me. You keep your hands off of that dirty literature. And you keep your eyes off of that dirty stuff on television. And you keep a clean mind. And don't you even sojourn to that kind of garbage. Not even one glance. No tobacco addict planned to become such. No addict to the dirty, stinking, satanic rock music ever planned to become such. No kleptomaniac ever sat down and said, I think I'll become a kleptomaniac. It was sojourn. No compulsive liar ever planned to be such. No gossip ever planned to ruin somebody's life. No arsonist ever said that was his goal. No addict to profanity ever planned to be an addict to profanity. No person who robs God ever planned to do so. No person who never attends church ever decided to drop out permanently. No compulsive spender ever said one day, I think I'll spend all I've got and go in debt and declare bankruptcy so I can steal from people things that I bought. Now I want to say a word here too. And I'm not mad at anybody. But I want to say a word. Brother, if you declare bankruptcy, you still owe that money. I don't mean that if you can pay it someday you will. I don't mean that. I mean, sell your car and ride a bicycle. Sell your house and live in a one-room shack somewhere and pay your debts off. I'm not mad at anybody, but if that makes you mad, just get mad. If you don't like it, just go ahead and get mad at me. But you listen to me. The most honest, honorable, decent people financially in all the Calumet region ought to be members of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. By the way, what I'm preaching tonight is the difference in our schools and the average so-called Christian school. We not only preach against Moab, we preach against living there, we preach against sojourning there. We not only preach against going to Egypt to live, we preach against going to Egypt to visit. We preach against passing through Egypt. Listen carefully to me. I know a preacher out west who bought a house as an investment. He made some money on that house, so he bought another house. I was preaching for him one day, and I said, I understand you have a couple of houses that in your list. He said, I have 20. A little later, I found out he had 30. A little later, he resigned his church. A little later, I found out he was making a lot of money. Now, the fellow didn't say, I'm going to resign my church someday and try to make money. The fellow said, I'm going to buy one house as an investment. He sojourned and then he lived in the land of finances. I know a paper boy who collected at a tavern. He was on his route. All he had to do was walk in that tavern and collect. Back in the days when I was a paper boy, you collected your own route. You didn't mail the money into the newspaper. Each fellow went to the door of the houses where he threw the papers, collected his own route. I know a young man who had a paper route. There was a tavern on that paper route, and all he did was walk inside that tavern to collect every week. Or in some cases, every month. He kept on walking in, and several hundred times he walked in that tavern to collect until he took a drink. And today, that young man has been for years an alcoholic. You say, what would you do? I'll tell you what I did. I had a paper route on South Ewing Street in Dallas, Texas. Dallas Times Herald paper route. On that paper route was a tavern. I walked up to the door of that tavern and knocked on the door. And the tavern keeper came to the door. You say, you're a fanatic. Yeah, but I didn't get drunk. You won't get drunk if you never take that first drink, and you won't take the first drink if you never get around it. And for two or three years, I threw that paper out, and the tavern keeper came out to the door and paid me for the... I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you better listen to me. You're not so strong that you... Abraham couldn't withstand sojourning. Jacob couldn't withstand sojourning. You know, Elimelech and Naomi couldn't stand sojourning. And you can't play with sin without being bitten one of these days and seriously damaged. If I listed the three outstanding young preachers ever attended a house nursing college, this young man would be one. He started a church and built a great church. And he was a great preacher, maybe the finest young preacher in America at the time. I was in a certain large city preaching, and he and his wife wanted to drive me to the airport. On the way to the airport, they said, Brother Howes, have you ever met John MacArthur? And I said, no, and that's just half the story. I don't want to meet John MacArthur. He said, but he's a nice guy. I said, that's why I don't want to meet him. Because the nicer a guy he is, the more I'm likely to be sucked into his heresy about the blood of Christ. He said, we went to hear him. We got to meet him. And that young man went to sojourn tonight. He's no longer a fundamentalist. He's no longer a Baptist. He pastors a hippie kind of a church. Where did it all start? When one time he decided to fellowship with John MacArthur. Now, some of you visitors don't understand this kind of preaching, but that's why I'm making it very plain so you can understand it. He said, what's wrong with John MacArthur? But John MacArthur said that the blood of Jesus Christ may be in the ground at the foot of Calvary. I've got news, Johnny. The blood of Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat in heaven where Jesus sprinkled it as my high priest. And if it's not there, I have no hope for heaven and neither do you. I'm saying one little visit with John MacArthur and he stayed in Moab. I know a truck driver. I performed his funeral service here at this church. A good man. Member of this church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Good man. Had a long drive to take one night and took some no-dos. Had another long drive, he took some more note, went to sojourn. He kept on taking no-dos, he became addicted to it. And became a vegetable. And dropped dead as a young man because of it. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Abraham, Jacob, and the great men of the faith, David. David didn't say, I think I'll take the day off and commit adultery. He sojourned. He took a look at Bathsheba. Now you listen to me. You better get back to the kind of convictions America used to have of touch not the unclean thing. There was a young man who went to this church. The outstanding male pianist I've ever seen in my life. I mean that. And I'm including all the pianists we've had here. Hold it. The outstanding high school male pianist. The guy was going to go to college. Dr. Robertson was president of Tennessee Temple. We had no college at the time. And I recommended this young man go to Tennessee Temple and take piano. He went down to visit Tennessee Temple and found that he was in advance of the music department there. Now listen carefully, baby. He may have been in advance musically, but he wasn't spiritually. And it's a lot better he gets spiritual than become a better pianist. So he went down to visit the University of Indiana and found that their music department was superior. And I will tell you something tonight. I'd rather be a second-class musician at an old-fashioned independent Baptist college than a first-class musician in some heathen institution that's going to shake your faith in the Word of God. And this young man went to the University of Indiana. Oh, I got a letter shortly after from the administrators there saying he's the outstanding young man in our college. I'll say this too. I'd rather be the worst of the best than the best of the worst. Wasn't long. He had a blind father. Some of you folks remember him. Had a blind father and a godly mother, godly father. Wasn't long till he was shacking up with a girl down there, living with a girl outside wedlock. He didn't say, I think I'll go down and find me a girl and shack up with her. He didn't say that. He went down to sojourn. His mother and father got concerned about him and drove down to Bloomington, University of Indiana. They went to his front door and knocked on the front door of his little place where, listen to me now, where he lived. He wouldn't even go to the door to talk to his blind father and the mother who entered the jaws of death to give him life. There is not a finer young Christian high school boy in this room tonight than that boy was. I was his number one hero. He loved me devotedly. Came to my office. In those days, we didn't have a huge church. He came to my office nearly every week just for some counsel. For years now, he's been a concert pianist. One time he came to Chicago and was the guest concert pianist for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He went to sojourn. It's always the case. He went to sojourn. I can tell you about a man who attended Howells Anderson College. He became a pastor. He took some cough syrup and kept taking it because he had a cough and kept taking it. Listen carefully to me. That pastor, graduate of Howells Anderson College, became addicted to that cough syrup. He and his wife came to my office. I counseled with them and tried to help the man, but he was already addicted to that cough syrup. It wasn't long till he suddenly died. Listen to me. One little first dose of the cough syrup. One little first dose of the no-dose dose. One little visit to the University of Indiana. We had a staff member at Howells Anderson College, left the college to start a church out east. This man led our college in helping our young men start churches around America, and he decided to start a church of his own. Went out east to start a church. He was in a wealthy neighborhood. He somehow had a hard time reaching those people, and he heard about a little martini party that the neighbors had every week. He thought maybe if he'd go to that martini party, he could win the confidence of some of those neighbors. Brother, when you go where they go, you lose their confidence. I think about that lady who called me on the phone years ago. She said, I'm a Lutheran, but my husband's dying at St. Margaret's Hospital. He's not a Christian. Would you go get him saved? I said, where do you go to church? She said, Lutheran church. I said, what you call your pastor? She said, he doesn't specialize in those cases. I specialize in those cases. She respected me more than she respected her pussyfooting pastor back home. And this man started going, I'm talking about a man who was one time a staff member at Howells Anderson College. Tonight, he's not even a Baptist. Last time I saw him, his hair looked like he was a hippie. He didn't say one day, I think I'll look like a hippie. He didn't say one day, I think I'll decide to not be a Baptist and become an evangelical. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to sojourn at a martini party. By the way, he didn't win those people's influence. Didn't build a great church. That's not the way you do it. You're not here tonight because Brother Howell said, let me know what you want to hear. You're here tonight because Brother Howell says this is what you need to hear. And if you walk out that door and never come back, you're going to get what I believe is best for you. And I want to warn you, ladies and gentlemen, don't you sojourn in Moab. Two of our graduates, while they're in college, decided to go to summer school at a local Bible institute. Non-evangelistic, non-separated, non-fundamental local Bible institute. They went to sojourn to get some credits in the summertime. Listen, young people. Hey, young people, I'm preaching to you back there. You need to hear what I'm talking about. He said, boy, you're pretty mean. No, the mean guy is the guy that lets you go to Moab without warning you. Person that loves you is the one that waves a sign and says, bridge out down the road. Not the fellow that knows the bridge out down the road says, come on. He doesn't love you. Both of them lost for the cause of Christ now. Just went to summer school, local Bible institute. I can tell you another young man went to Howell's Anderson College 3 years, decided to take his last year at this same Bible institute. He's divorced from his wife. Out of the full-time ministry and some little work, social work. Good young man. But he sojourned in Moab. A young lady went to this church. She heard me preach. She decided one day, and by the way, this story is as true as any story I've ever told in my life. She went to this church, a beautiful young blonde lady, beautiful. Which means she was pretty but sort of dumb. But anyway, she decided, she sat in my office and told me this. She said, I decided I wanted to find out what sex was like. She said a businessman wanted to accompany him on a date. And I went on the date with him, and I had sex with him. She said, I didn't intend to do anything but find out what it was like. Now listen to me carefully. You're going to hear something that's going to curl your hair. She said, and then I found he had some more money. And then he had some other business associates, and she said, before I knew it, they put me in a penthouse kind of a hotel overlooking Lake Michigan. Gave me the most beautiful furnishings in all Chicago. Gave me a big salary and gave me everything I wanted and put me in a beautiful luxury car and gave me everything I wanted. And before I knew it, I was up there in that apartment living in luxury so a dozen men could use me whenever they wanted to use me. And that young lady at one time sat right in this auditorium. She just sojourned. I want to know what sex is like, she said. I'm going to tell you something worse than that. A young man who came to this church decided he needed some money. He decided to pose as a male prostitute. He found there was no money posing as a prostitute to hire out to women. So he would dress himself like a woman. And looked exactly like a beautiful woman. And lure a wealthy businessman to seduction. And that businessman would take this man who looked like a woman. I mean, this boy used to come to church. He used to go to our youth activities. And he would get the money from these men. And while they'd go to the washroom to prepare for their act, he'd take the money and slip out the door and take their billfold with him. Just one trip to Moab. Now you better hear me. You better stay in church every time the doors are open. You better tithe every time you get paid. You better keep yourself away from Moab. You better not even go for a visit there. Just one little trip to Moab. Sojourn!
Moab doesn't look as bad after you've seen it for a while.
And Moabites don't look as bad when you know them real well. And liberals do not look as distasteful up close. I promise you I could go to the local ministerial association. I promise you in 6 months they'd look real nice. Illustrate. We just bought that building, the Jewish synagogue. Look up and listen to me. We bought that building, the Jewish synagogue. Paid $800,000 for it, and we're having our classes there for our bus kid high school now. I went down and met with this committee. Here was the rabbi over here. He didn't do business. He was in the office, but I met him. And here was a dentist here, a lawyer here, a manager of a Sears Roebuck company over here. And we started talking. They showed me around the building. And they were nice guys. Nice guys. I enjoyed it. I said, "What do you pay your rabbi?" And they told me. I said, "Look, if you ever quit, call me." And they thought that was funny. More than you did. And after I'd made 3 visits with them, one of them said to me, "Look, once a year, our rabbi exchanges pulpits with another minister. Would you like to do that?" So next Sunday morning, anyway. Now, the best thing you do is not hang around. The liberals are too nice. Old story. I used to be a barbershop over here where our little Spanish building is across the alley. Over there to get me a haircut one day. I was in the chair. The fellow was in the chair when I got there. We started talking about the Cubs. Boy, when you talk about the Cubs, there's nothing else left to talk about in the world. We started talking about the Cubs. This guy in the chair was one of the nicest guys I ever met. My, he was a nice guy. Boy, I tell you, we had a good conversation. I was there about 15 minutes while I was getting his hair cut. I was the next guy. He left, and I said to the barber, "Boy, that was a nice guy. Who is that?" He said, "He's the fellow that runs this girly place, now the gentleman's club down here." What was it called then? What? Cataldi's. That's where I met you, wasn't it? Cataldi's. Soul winning. I promise you, you give me one day with that guy Cataldi's, and I'd be the bartender down there at his restaurant. And so would you. The wrong crowd's composed of nice guys, and I'm afraid of the liberals. I'm afraid of the worldlings. That's why God said in Genesis 3 to Eve, He said, "Ye shall not eat of the fruit, neither shall ye touch it." Don't hear that much anymore. Well, you hear it preached. God said, "Don't eat that fruit." No, He said more than that. He said, "Don't touch it." Because I got news. If you don't touch it, you can't eat it. That's why in Leviticus 5:2 it says, "If a soul touch an unclean thing, he also shall be unclean and guilty." That's why in Numbers 16:26 it says, "Depart from the tents of these wicked ones and touch nothing of theirs." Touch nothing of theirs. That's why in Job 5:19 it says, "There shall no evil touch thee." That's why in Isaiah 52:11 it says, "Touch no unclean thing." That's why in Lamentations 4:15 it says, "If it is unclean, depart, touch it not." That's why in 2 Corinthians 6:17 it says, "Touch not the unclean thing." That's why in Proverbs 23:31 it says, "Look not on the wine when it's red." And that means whether you're looking on it in a bar or on a television screen. First Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." In Romans 16:7, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine and which you have learned, and avoid them." And in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. And in Proverbs 4:14-15, enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, and turn from it, and pass away. That's why in Leviticus 7:21 it says, touch no unclean thing. That's why in 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. That's why in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. None. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. God's people could not touch the carcass of an unclean beast. They could not touch the carcass of unclean cattle. They could not touch the carcass of an unclean creeping thing. They could not touch the carcass of a unclean animal. They could not touch an unclean man. They could not touch a leprous man. This whole sermon is saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you never want to be a casualty on the road to heaven or shipwreck on the ocean on the river of life, if you never want to be a backslider that goes into sin and wrecks your life, if you never want to be the kind of preacher that is not even a Baptist and is an evangelical, if you don't want to be the kind of preacher that's an Adventist Douglas MacArthur, if you don't want to be the kind of person that shacks up with a woman that's not yours, if you don't want to be that kind of person, then don't you, for the first time, go to Moab. Don't sojourn. So I say, beloved, don't touch it. Don't taste it. Don't handle it. Don't look upon it. Don't fellowship with it. Don't smell it. Don't dabble with it. Don't play with it. Don't be around it. Don't listen to it. Don't walk with it. Don't tolerate it. Don't see it. Don't tamper with it. Don't try it. Don't approach it. Don't feel it. Don't keep company with it. Don't hang around it. Don't lack it. Don't stop at it. Don't test it. Don't consider it. Don't linger at it. And don't chat with it. Before you know it, you'll be a citizen of Egypt with Abraham, or a citizen of Haran with Jacob, or a citizen of Moab with Naomi and Elimelech. Touch not the unclean thing. Sojourn. She went to sojourn and sojourned 7 years. There's not, listen carefully to me, there's not a man that's ever stumbled into our rescue mission. Not a one that didn't take his first drink. He went to sojourn. There's not a person that sets up here with our homeless people every Sunday morning that slept on Lower Wacker Drive last night that didn't sojourn first. And I'm talking to folks, I'm talking tonight to young ladies that will give birth to a baby outside wedlock, but the first thing you'll do is just sojourn. I'm talking to young men tonight in Howells Anderson College that will sell your convictions for a buck, a popularity, a denominational approval someday. But you'll never do it till you start off sojourning just a little bit. I'm talking to young men tonight that will wreck your life, and you'll be a shipwreck one of these days. But a long time before you ever a shipwreck, you'll dabble with it. And before you know it, you're in Moab or Egypt. Or maybe you're looking at your Ishmael. Because you decided to sojourn. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. Ask a question. No one leaving, please. No one leaving, please. No one leaving, please. No one leaving, please. Our heads are bowed. Have you been sojourning? Have you been sojourning through the pages of a magazine? Have you been sojourning with a little remote control thing in your hand that changes channels? Have you been sojourning with promiscuous behavior toward somebody, a young person? Have you been sojourning by spending too much time watching the lingerie ads in the local newspapers? No one is leaving, please. I said, no one leaving, please. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you work in the PA room, if you're an usher in this church or security guard, you need to hear what I'm saying right now. Now you listen to me. Are you sojourning with talk shows? Are you sojourning with a credit card at a video place where you're picking up a movie every now and then? Are you sojourning with language that you shouldn't use? I wonder who'd be honest tonight. And I'm going to close my eyes because I do not want to know who raises a hand. But in the sight of God, with my eyes shut tonight, I want you tonight to say, Brother Hiles, thanks a lot. You may have saved my neck tonight. You may have saved my neck tonight. Preacher, I'm afraid I've been sojourning some. Oh, I never intend to go into deep sin. I never intend to wreck my life. I'm afraid I've been... Maybe you're sojourning in books you shouldn't be reading. Maybe even religious books you shouldn't be reading. I wonder who would say tonight, Preacher, in some area of my life, I'm afraid I've been sojourning. Not